permanent, since it has no origination, everlasting, since it has no cessation, at peace, being free from both, immutable, since it abides in the true nature, perfectly at peace, since it is cessation's truth, all-embracing, since all has been understood, concept-free, since it does not dwell, unclinging, since all defilements have been dispelled, unhindered always, since the obscurations to knowledge have been purified, free from coarse sensations, being without the two and highly suited, invisible, since it is formless, imperceptible, because it has no characteristic, wholesome, since its nature is pure, and immaculate, all impurities being removed. Actualization. Beginningless, centerless, and endless, completely indivisible, free from the two, free from the three, stainless and concept-free, such is the Dharmadhatu. Understanding of its nature is the vision of the yogin who abides in meditation. Unfathomable and greater in number than the sand grains of the Ganga, inconceivable and unequal are the qualities of the immaculate space of the Tathagatas, purged of every defect and related conditioning. By various facets of the true Dharma, through its radiant embodiments and diligence in accomplishing its aim of liberating beings, its deeds are like those of a king of wishing gems. Although having different substantial forms, it is not really of such character. The form aspects are the cause, establishing worldlings on the path to peace, maturing them and predicting. Moreover, these worlds, by their presence, are ever graced, just as the element of form ever abides in that of space. That call the omniscience of the self-existent, Buddhahood, supreme nirvana, inconceivability, victory over the enemy and the own nature, is categorized according to its qualities of profoundness, vastness, and magnanimity, through the essence kaya and so on, the kayas three. Of these, the Buddha's essence kaya should be known as that which has the five intrinsic qualities, and when put concisely, five qualities. It is uncreate and indivisible, utterly purged, purified of the two extremes, definitively liberated from the obscurations three, the defilements, ideational knowledge, and blockages to meditative mastery. Stainless, completely beyond concept, and through being the domain of the yogi, and through the Dharmadhatu being essentially pure, it is clarity. The Svavabhika Kaya is truly endowed with the qualities of immeasurability, unaccountability, inconceivability, incomparability, and ultimate purity. It is respectively immeasurable and so on because it is vast, immeasurable, beyond the scope of intellectual speculation, unique, and rid of even the conditioning. It takes the form of perfect expression because it uses perfectly the various dharmas. It manifests real attributes and has uninterrupted activity to benefit beings, being the natural outflow of pure compassion. It completely, exactly fulfills aspirations, spontaneously and without conceptual agitation, and because it has miraculous abilities like those of the gem fulfilling all wishes. It is being shown here in facets 5, its uninterrupted speech, emanation, and deeds, these being absolutely uncontrived, and it manifesting not its true identity. Just as a gem is actually not the various hues it can pick up, so likewise the all-embracing is not the way it appears to be due to situations of various beings. Through greatest compassion, knowing all worlds, having seen all worlds, whilst never leaving the Dharmakaya, through various forms, apparitional by nature, the one excellently born into the highest birth, descends from that realm of great joy, enters the royal womb, and is nobly born on earth, perfectly skilled in every science and craft, delighting in his royal consort's company, renouncing, practicing the path of difficulty, going to the place called enlightenment's very heart, he vanquishes the hosts of Mara. Then, perfect enlightenment, he turns the wheel of Dharma and passes into Nirvana. In all those places so impure, the Nirmanakaya shows these deeds as long as worlds endure. Knowing the means, through such terms as impermanence, suffering, no-self, and peace, the Nirmanakaya instills weariness with the world in beings of the three dimensions, thereby causing them to apply themselves to suffering's transcendence. To those excellently established on the path of peace, who believe themselves Nirvana to have reached, he teaches the thatness of all phenomena in the white lotus of Dharma and others, wherefore they turn away from their former belief and, inspired to well adopt wisdom and skillful means, he brings them to maturity in the highest jhana and predicts their enlightenment supreme. Being profound, the very best of all powers, and cleverest guidance for the immature according to their specific needs, these are respectively known as the deep, the vast, and the great by nature. The first of the above is the Dharmakaya, whilst the latter are the formkayas. Just as forms abide in space, the latter abide in the former. Permanence. Through infinite causes, an inexhaustible number of beings, compassionate love, miraculous powers, perfect knowledge, having the very best, mastery over all qualities, having vanquished the evil of death, insubstantiality, and being the protector of the worlds, they are permanent. Because, having devoted their bodies, lives, and resources, they uphold the true Dharma, because of completely fulfilling their initial promises to benefit beings, because the stainless and pure compassion of the Buddhas permeates all beings, because they manifest through the basis of miraculous powers by which they display abiding, because, having perfect knowledge, they are freed from believing in a samsara nirvana duality, because they have the very best of bliss, of constant and unimaginable samadhis, because even though they act in the world, by worldly qualities they are unblemished, because, being immortal and having attained the state of peace, there is no opportunity for the evil of death, because the victors, whose nature is uncreate, have been forever perfectly at peace, and because they are most suited as refuge and so forth for those without a source of refuge. The first 7 reasons demonstrate the form kaya's permanence, and the last 3 demonstrate the Dharmakaya's permanence. Inconceivability. since it is ineffable, consists of the ultimately true, is not the object of intellectual investigation, is beyond example, is peerless and comprised of neither conditioned existence nor peace. It is the domain of the Buddhas, inconceivable for even the deeply realized. Inconceivable because it is ineffable, ineffable because it is the ultimately true. Ultimately true because it cannot be investigated intellectually. Intellectually uninvestigatable because it cannot be deduced. Non-deductible since it is peerless. Peerless because it is uncomprised. Uncomprised because it does not abide, since qualities and faults are not conceptualized. For five reasons is the Dharmakaya inconceivable, being by them extremely subtle, and by the sixth are the formkayas inconceivable, since they are non-substantial. Through their attributes of jhana insurpassable, great compassion, and others like these, the victors have perfected every quality and are inconceivable. Therefore is this final point, the spontaneously present, not even understood by great sages who have received empowerment. This was the second chapter on enlightenment, from the analysis of the potential for the rare and supreme in this ultimate Mahayana treatise on the changeless continuity of the true nature. The sixth Vajra point, the qualities of Buddhahood. Fulfillment for oneself and benefit for others are the ultimately true kaya and its dependent relatively true kayas. The fruits of freedom and perfect maturity are their 64 qualities. The ground for acquiring fulfillment for oneself is the embodiment of the ultimate truth. The symbolic embodiments of the great sages are the ground for the greatest possible altruism. The first kaya is endowed with freedom's qualities, powers, and so on. The second with maturity's qualities, the marks of a perfect being. Against ignorance's veils, the powers are like a vajra, and the fearlessnesses in any situation like a lion. Like space are the Tathagata's distinctive qualities, and like the moon in water, the two aspects victors manifest. To know the appropriate and the inappropriate, the full maturation of actions, faculties, temperaments, wishes, the paths which lead everywhere, meditative stability, and so on, that unblemished by defilement, remembrance of former states, divine vision, and peace. The 10 powers of perfect knowledge are these. Such powers, the appropriate and inappropriate, full maturations, temperaments, beings' wishes, the various paths, the defiled and perfectly pure, the groupings of faculties, remembrance of former states, divine vision, and the way to exhaust impurity, are like a vajra because they penetrate ignorance's armor, shatter its walls, and hew down its tree. In everything perfectly enlightened, in bringing cease to hindrances, in teaching the path and stating cessation, they have four kinds of fearlessness. Because they themselves know and help others know every aspect of the knowable, because they have relinquished and help others relinquish those things which must be relinquished, because they teach and make taught, and because they have attained and help attain the utterly stainless highest attainment. They truthfully tell others their own realization, and in so doing are unhindered in any way. Just as in all parts of the jungle, the king of wild animals is never fearful, moving fearlessly amongst all other animals, so also does that lion, the king of victors, remain in any gathering, completely fearless, independent, stable, and highly skillful. The Buddhas are unmistaken and do not noisily chatter. Their mindfulness is impeccable, and their mind is never not resting in meditation. They do not harbor ideas of various kinds. Never is their impartiality something undeliberate, and their mighty aspiration is never subject to degradation, nor is their diligence, their memory, nor their prajna, nor their perfect liberation and perception, the jhana of liberation. Their activities are preceded by jhana, and that jhana to time's injuries is not prone. These 18 qualities and more are those teachers' attributes alone. For great sages, there are no mistakes, chatter, unmindfulness, mental agitation, various forms of ideation, or casual indifference. Aspiration, diligence, memory, perfectly pure and immaculate prajna, constant perfect liberation, and the jhana of perfect liberation, which sees all aspects of the knowable. These are theirs, and these never suffer from any deterioration. All three activities, whatever they may be, are preceded and accompanied by jhana. Their perfect knowledge constantly and extensively penetrates the three times without hindrance. Such having been realized, the Buddhas, those victorious ones with compassion's magnificence, achieve a perfect and fearless turning of the great wheel of the true Dharma for beings. Earth and the others have properties of specific character. Their nature is not that of space. Space's own intrinsic characteristic, non-obstruction, is absent in matter. Earth, water, fire, air, and space are equally common to all the worlds, but not even so much as an atom of the distinctive attributes of a Buddha is common to any of the worlds. Perfectly level and marked with wheels, his feet are broad and ankles unobtrusive. Long are his fingers and toes, which are themselves interwebbed. Soft is his skin and fine his youthful flesh. His body has 7 elevated parts. Like an antelope's are his calves. Like an elephant's are his private parts recessed. His torso is like a lion's, and clavicles not hollow but well filled. His shoulders are elegantly rounded, and rounded, soft, and even are his arms. His arms are long, and his perfectly pure body by an aura of light is surrounded. His neck is like a conch without blemish, and cheeks like those of the king of beasts. Equal are his 40 teeth. They are very pure and closely set, immaculate and evenly aligned, the eye teeth perfect and excellently white. His tongue is long, unending and inconceivable, with the most perfect faculty of taste. The spontaneously born one has a voice like the song of the Kalavinka bird or Brahma's melody. The Supreme of Beings has beautiful eyes like blue lotuses, and like an ox's are his eyelashes. With its immaculate white urna hair, his face is handsome to behold. His head bears a mound, and his skin is pure, fine, and golden. The hairs on his body are exceedingly fine and soft, one from each, and curling to the right and to the top. His hair is impeccable and like a deep blue gem, as well rounded as a perfect Nyagroda tree. The ever-good and incomparable great sage has the strength of Narayana in his body firm. These 2 and 30 marks, vividly brilliant and beyond any concept's grasp, are, by our teacher, taught as those of a lord of men. Just as the form of the autumn moon in a cloudless sky is seen on the azure waters of a lake, so also are the all-embracing one's form kayas seen by all the victor's sons in the perfect Buddha mandala. One should know that these 64 qualities and their respective causes here follow their order in the jewel discourse, the Ratna Sutra. Being invulnerable, undisheartened, peerless, and motionless, they are illustrated by the examples of a Vajra, a lion, space, and the clear moon in water. Of these powers, and so on, 6, 3, and 1, have completely dispelled, respectively, cognitive, meditative balance and those accompanied by their latent conditioning. Thus they have pierced, destroyed, and felled the armor-like, wall-like, and tree-like. Being firm, resistant, steadfast, and invulnerable, these powers of the sages are Vajra-like. Why firm? Because they are resistant. Why resistant? Because they are steadfast. Why steadfast? Because they are invulnerable. Since they are invulnerable, they are like a Vajra. Being fearless, unconcerned, and stable, and since his skill is supreme, the lion of men, the one triumphant, is likened to a lion, fearless in the midst of any gathering. Having definite knowledge of everything, he stays absolutely fearless of anyone, since he clearly sees that even purified beings are not his peer, he remains uninfluenced. Since his noble mind is constantly attentive to each and every phenomena, he has stability. Having transcended the state of latent ignorance, exceedingly difficult, he possesses skillful mastery. Worldlings, Shravakas, those one-sided, the wise, and that which spontaneously arises, their understandings being progressively subtler, can be exemplified through elements 5. Buddhas are like earth, water, fire, and air, being sustenance for all the worlds. They are like space, being beyond the characteristics of both worldly existence and that which transcends it. Into 2 and 30 qualities, then, are aspects of Dharmakaya made. Though they are as inseparable as a gem's color, its brilliance, and shape. Those attributes which, when seen, contentment inspire, are known as the 2 and 30 marks, which are founded in the kayas too, the Nirmanakaya and the Sambhogakaya, which makes the Dharma perfect. Those far from purity and those close to it see these in two ways, as being in the world or as the mandala of the victors, like the form of the moon beheld in water or in space. This was the third chapter on the qualities, from the analysis of the potential for the rare and supreme in the ultimate Mahayana treatise on the changeless continuity of the true nature. The seventh Vajra point, Buddha activity, its spontaneity. With respect to the temperaments of students, the means for training them, the trainings which are suited to their temperaments, and their movements in terms of time and space, the all-embracing are always spontaneous in their acts. Its ceaselessness. Endowed with jhana's mighty sea, full with a multitude of gem-like qualities, with the sunlight of virtue and jhana, the Buddhas have achieved all jhanas. Without middle or end, exceedingly vast, Buddhahood is all-pervading, just like space. Perfectly seeing that this treasure of unsullied qualities is in every being, without the slightest distinction, they dispel defilements and knowledge's cloud lattices with the wind of their perfect compassion. Since thoughts of for whom, by what means, through what training, where and when do not arise, these masters of wisdom are spontaneous at all times. For whom? The temperaments of those to be trained. By what means? Which of the many training techniques? Through what training? Which actions to use to train them? And where and when? On what occasion? Buddha activity is unceasing because it is devoid of conceptualizing with regard to true freedom, freedom's support, the fruit of freedom, authentic possession of this fruit, the obscurations which veil it, and the necessary conditions for breaking through them. Genuine release is the 10 levels. Its cause is the 2 accumulations. Its fruit is supreme enlightenment, and enlightenment beings really possess. Its obscuring veils are the endless defilements, the subsidiary defilements, and the latencies. Great compassion is the condition for destroying these. These 6 points should be known as respectively being like an ocean, the sun, space, a treasure, clouds, and the wind. The levels are like an ocean whose waters are jhana and which possesses the qualities as its ocean's gems. The 2 accumulations are like the sun, since by them all beings are sustained. Enlightenment is like space, being vast, centerless, and without end. The basic character of beings is like a treasure, being the very nature of utterly perfect enlightenment. The covering defilements are like cloud hosts, being fleeting, pervasive, and not entities. Compassion is like a mighty wind, being ever-present to dispel them. Since their release is for others' benefit, since they see the equality of themselves and beings, and since their deeds have not been fully completed, their activity is unbroken until samsara's end. The 9 examples. Like Indra, the drum, clouds, Brahmli, the sun, a wish-fulfilling gem, space, and earth is the Tathagata. If the ground here had the quality of flawless lapis lazuli, then one would see appear in it, through its clarity, the king of gods accompanied by hosts of young goddesses. Perfectly victorious, his resplendent palace, the divine abodes, other places with various wonders, and all the many kinds of enjoyments that gods possess. Seeing these appearances, multitudes of men and women living on the earth's surface would exclaim, "Oh, may we also, before long, become like this divine king." Having made such a prayer that it be realized, they would truly adopt virtue and persist. Though they may not realize that these are just appearances, they would, nevertheless, through virtue, be reborn as gods when they had departed from the surface of this earth. These appearances are absolutely unintentional and without shift. However, their presence on earth is accompanied by great benefit. In a similar way, beings with faultless faith and so forth will, through practicing these qualities, see the perfect Buddha manifest in their mind, endowed with the marks and meaningful signs. They see him walking, standing, sitting, sleeping, enacting all the various modes of conduct, proclaiming the teaching of peace or, without speaking, remaining in meditation, performing various sorts of miracles, and being with magnificence and splendor full. Having seen this and felt aspiration for such Buddhahood, they apply themselves to it most excellently, through properly adopting its causes, the desired state is reached. These appearances are completely concept-free and involve no shift. Though this be so, they bring to the world tremendous benefit. Ordinary beings are held not to understand that. These are one's own mind's manifestations, yet to see such forms, nevertheless, bring them benefit. Progressively, through what is seen, established in the jhana, they will see the inner true Dharmakaya through eyes of jhana. If all the earth were rid of fearful places and became flawless lapis, lustrous and beautiful with all that jewel's qualities, free from impurity, magnificent, and of smooth, even surface, then there would appear, on account of its purity, the various divine abodes and the form of the King of Gods. By such a ground's qualities, gradual disappearance, these things would once again become non-apparent. In order to obtain such a state, many men and women would turn to the precepts of close observance, true generosity, and so on, scatter flowers and do other like deeds, their mind full of aspiration. In a similar way, in order to become this mighty victor king who had appeared in their mind, comparable to pure lapis lazuli, the victor's sons developed their mind perfectly, their spirit being filled with great joy. Just as the reflection of the form of the King of Gods appears in the clear lapis lazuli ground, so also does the reflection of the King of Mighty Sages' form appear in the clear ground, which is beings' minds. For beings, the appearances and disappearances of these reflections occur because of their minds' either unpolluted or polluted condition, similar to the manifestation of form in the worlds. These should not be taken as entities existent or extinct. through the power of the gods' former goodness, the Dharma drum in the divine realms, without effort, location, mental form, or concept, exhorts all the uncaring gods over and over again with its throbs of impermanence, suffering, no self, and peace. Like this, the all-pervading is without effort, and so on, yet his Buddhist speech permeates all beings without exception, teaching the noble doctrine to those of good fortune. Just as the divine drum's throb sounds for devas through their karma, so also the sage's Dharma speech arises in the world due to karma. Just as its sound, without effort, source, form, or mind, brings peace, so also, without effort and the others, is peace procured by Dharma. The sound of the drum in the celestial citadel is the cause which both bestows fearlessness to vanquish asura armies when through defilement wars occur, and ends divine playfulness. Like this, that arising from the likes of formless meditation proclaims in the worlds the way of the insurpassable path of peace to totally defeat sentient beings' defilements and suffering. Universal, joyously beneficial, and having threefold miracles, the sage's melody is superior to the celestial cymbals. The mighty sound of the divine drum earthlings' ears cannot reach, yet samsara's subterraneans can hear the throb of Buddha speech. In the heavens, tens of millions of celestial cymbals resound to reinforce desire's fires. Yet those whose identity is compassion affect a single melody to extinguish suffering's fires totally. The beautiful and pleasant music of cymbals in the heavens creates an increase in their mental agitation. The speech of the Tathagatas, whose nature is compassion, turns the mind towards samadhi and stimulates reflection. In brief, it is said that the cause of happiness for those in each and every universe, in heaven or earth, depends entirely upon that very melody, which in every world is manifest all pervasively. Just as those with no hearing cannot experience subtle sound, and even with divine hearing, not all sounds can be heard, so also is the subtle Dharma the domain of the very finest jhana, to be heard by just those few whose mind is undefiled. The rainy season's clouds, continually and effortlessly, downpour vast amounts of water onto the earth, and are the cause for good and bountiful crops. Likewise, clouds of compassion, without any conceptualization, rain down the waters of the victor's noble teaching, and cause the harvests of virtue for sentient beings. Provided that the world is engaged in virtue's ways, the wind-borne clouds will cause a fall of rain. Likewise, compassion's wind causes Buddha clouds to cascade their rain of true teachings to increase virtue in beings. In the world, due to great compassionate love and knowledge, the Lord of all sages' clouds abide amidst a space unblemished by either that which changes or the changeless. They have, as their unspoilt essence, samadhi and dharani's waters, which, for the harvest of virtue, they are the very cause. Cool, delicious, soft, light water fallen from the clouds, acquires so many tastes through contact with salty and other grounds. Likewise, the rain of the eightfold water of the sublime, falling from the heart of that vastest cloud of compassionate love, assumes many a flavor according to beings' various states of mind. Those of appreciative faith, the middling, and those with animosity form three groups comparable to humans, peafowl, and craving spirits. In the cloudless end of spring, it is men and these non-flying birds, and in the summertime, when it rains, the craving spirits who suffer. This example is made since, depending on whether there is or not a rain of Dharma from compassion's multitudes of clouds, then worldly beings will either aspire to or have animosity for Dharma. Deluging mighty raindrops, hurling down hailstones or thunderbolts, clouds do not consider the small fauna or those run to the hills. Likewise, the clouds of perfect knowledge and compassionate love, with their very fine or larger drops, do not mind that some will purify their defilements, and others tend to believe in a self. In this samsara of beginningless births and deaths, there are five sorts of sentient being. Just as there is no nice smell in excrement, among those five there is no contentment. Their sufferings are like the unceasing pain of burns, wounds, chemical scalds, and so on. Compassion's clouds cause a mighty rain of true Dharma, which will soothe all those. Those endowed with prajna have no longing for even the highest celestial or human sovereignty. Having understood that divine death and transmigration, as well as humans' constant searching, are misery, they have also seen through prajna and through following with trust the Tathagata's excellent teachings. This is suffering, this is its cause, and this is its cessation through understanding. Just as the disease need be diagnosed, its cause eliminated, a healthy state achieved, and the remedy implemented, so also should suffering, its causes, its cessation, and the path be known, removed, attained, and undertaken. Without effort and without leaving the Brahma heaven, Brahma in any divine abode can manifest his presence. Similarly, without ever departing from Dharmakaya, the great victor effortlessly manifests his emanations in any sphere to the mature. Without leaving his palace, Brahma manifests in the sensuous realm. Seeing him there makes its gods abandon seeking sense gratification. Similarly, the Sugatas, while never departing from Dharmakaya, are seen in every world sphere by those who are ready. This vision is constantly causing them to relinquish impurity. Due to both the power of his own former prayers and the God's virtue, Brahma appears effortlessly. The spontaneous one's emanated form appears similarly. Descent, entry into the womb, going to his father's palace, enjoyment, solitary practice, subduing negativity, attainment of enlightenment, teaching the path to the citadel of peace. Having demonstrated these, the mighty sage becomes invisible to those of insufficient maturity. When the sun blazes, lotuses and like flowers open. Simultaneously, the kumata flowers close up completely. The sun has no thought of good or bad that those waterborne flowers be either open or closed. Like this also is the sun, the perfectly realized one. The sun, without ideation, by its own light's radiation, simultaneously makes lotuses bloom and other things ripen. Similarly, without ideation, the Tathagata sun pours forth his rays of true Dharma onto those lotuses who are beings to be trained. Through the Dharma and form kayas, the sun of omniscience rises in the firmament of the essence of enlightenment to send forth its sunbeams of jhana into sentient beings. Due to this, the Sugata sun, in countless reflections, appears at once in all those water vessels that are the pure sentient beings to be trained. Continually, from amid the sky of all-pervading Dharmadhatu, in manner determined by what they have merited, shines the Buddha sun on the mountain-like students. Just as the risen sun, with thousands of magnificent rays, having illumined the universe, sheds its light in turn on the highest summits, the medium, and the plains. Likewise does that sun, the victorious one, confer his light progressively on the multitudes of beings. The sun cannot radiate to the depths of space of every realm, nor show the knowable's meaning to those obscured in dark ignorance. The one whose identity is compassion shows beings the significance of the knowable. Clarity, through spectra of radiant multiple color. When the Buddha goes to cities, the eyeless see. They experience, through that seeing, the meaningful, free from the various facets of the unbeneficial. Their intelligence illuminated by the light of the Buddha sun, those blinded by ignorance, fallen into the ocean of existence, and veiled by opinion's darkness, see the essence they had not seen. A wish-fulfilling gem, though thought-free, fulfills simultaneously all the wishes of those within its sphere of activity. Likewise, though those of varying aspiration hear various teachings when relying on the wish-fulfilling Buddha, he does not so conceive. Just as it is difficult for beings here desirous of such a gem to encounter one because they lie underground or in the ocean, so also should one know it to be difficult to see a Sugata, for those beings here poorly fated and in defilement's grasp. Such a precious gem bestows on others desired wealth, perfectly, effortlessly, and without any concept. Similarly, effortlessly and however appropriate, the mighty sage remains constantly in the world to help others for as long as it persists. The echo's sound arises due to others' faculties of cognition. Concept-free, it is effortless and abides not without nor within. Likewise, the Tathagata's speech arises due to others' cognitive faculties, and is concept-free, effortless, and abides neither without nor within. even though space is nothing whatsoever, non-manifest, not a mental object, without foundation, completely invisible, without form and not demonstrable, it is seen as being up or down, but space is not like that. Likewise, everything seen relating to Buddha is not like him at all. Everything which grows from the ground develops, becomes firm, and grows up through depending on the thought-free earth. Likewise, every root of being's virtue, without exception, increases through dependence on the thought-free Buddha ground. Since ordinary beings do not perceive action without effort, these nine examples are taught to annihilate students' doubts. These nine examples have been excellently, fully taught in a sutra of name which explains their purpose. The wise, adorned with the great light of wisdom, born of such study, will swiftly enter all Buddha domains. The nine examples, such as Indra's reflection in lapis lazuli, have taught this point, the meanings they illustrate so accurately. Manifestation, speech, all-pervasiveness, the emanations, the shining forth of jhana, the mystery of body, speech, and mind, and possession of a compassionate nature. Their mind ideation free, all channels of effort having been pacified totally, is just like Indra's reflection and so on, appearing in stainless lapis lazuli. Here, pacification of effort is a proposition. The logical justification is the mind free of ideation. The examples of Indra's form and so forth help establish the point of naturalness. The point that this is making is that the teacher, who is beyond birth and death, effortlessly manifests these nine, appearance, etc. Effortless altruistic action, for as long as there is existence, like that of Indra, the drum, clouds, Brahma, the sun, the kingly wish-fulfilling gem, an echo, space, or the earth, is understood by the great yogin alone. Similar to Indra's jewel appearance, manifestation, like the divine drum, the perfect bestowing of instruction, the cloud hosts, those of perfect knowledge and loving compassion, with which the all-embracing pervades limitless beings up to the summit of conditioned existence. Similarly to Brahma, they manifest many an emanation, without ever departing from their untainted domain. Like the sun, they radiate universally their jhana light, and, like the wish-fulfilling gem, perfectly pure their mind. Like an echo, devoid of any verbalization, is the victor's speech. Like space, all-pervading, formless and permanent, their form. And like the earth, the universal ground for the medicinal herbs that are being's virtues, is the state of Buddhahood. One sees Buddhas in this mind, comparable to pure lapis lazuli, through mind's purity, development of irreversible faith's faculty. Since this virtue appears and disappears, the forms of the Buddhas also appear and disappear. However, like Indra, the great sage's Dharmakaya is beyond arising and destruction. Like him, in a way which is effortless, from this Dharmakaya, without birth or death, he engages in activity, such as manifestation, for as long as conditioned existence goes on. Here is a summarized meaning of the examples taught through an order where dissimilarities are eliminated from the former to the latter. The Buddha is like that reflection, but not the same. That doesn't have his melody. He is like the celestial drum, but not the same. It is not universally beneficial. He is like the vast cloud, but not the same. It removes not useless seeds. He is like Mahabrahma, but not the same. He does not engender lasting maturity. He is like the form of the sun, but not the same. It cannot vanquish darkness forever. He is like the wish-fulfilling gem, but not the same. Its appearance is not that difficult to encounter. He is like an echo, but not the same. It arises through circumstance. He is like space, but not the same. That is not the basis for goodness. He is like the mandala of earth, being the supportive ground for absolutely every single goodness in sentient life, mundane and supramundane, because the supramundane path arises on the basis of the Buddha's enlightenment, as do the paths of virtuous acts, concentrative meditation, the limitless contemplations, and the formless ones. This was the fourth chapter on the Tathagata's activity, from the analysis of the potential for the rare and sublime in this ultimate Mahayana treatise on the changeless continuity. Part 3, the conclusion. The benefits of this text. Buddha nature, the Buddha's enlightenment, Buddhahood's qualities, and the activity of the Buddhas. These are even inconceivable for purified beings, being the domain of experience of their leaders. The wise who have trust in this domain of the Buddhas become vessels for multitudes of Buddha qualities, genuinely delighting in hosts of inconceivable qualities. They surpass the virtues of every sentient being. One who hears but one word of this, and, having heard, has faith in it, will attain greater virtue than another who, striving for Bodhi, offers golden lands adorned with jewels equal in number to all the atoms of the Buddha fields, to the Dharma King daily. One who hears but one word of this, and, having heard, has faith in it, will attain greater virtue than that of the meditative stability of others, whose dhyana rids the three worlds of defilement's fires, and brings achievement of the divine state of Brahma's paradise, even if it is practiced as a means to supreme immutable enlightenment. One who hears but one word of this, and having heard, has faith in it, will attain greater virtue than that of the right conduct of the wise, who, longing for enlightenment, keep effortless right conduct of body, speech, and mind, even be it for many cosmic aeons. One who hears but one word of this, and having heard, has faith in it, will attain greater virtue than that of the meditative stability of others, whose dhyana rids the three worlds of defilement's fires and brings achievement of the divine state of Brahma's paradise, even if it is practiced as a means to supreme immutable enlightenment. Generosity brings affluence. Right conduct leads to the higher states. Meditative stability removes defilements, but prajna removes all defilements and the cognitive. Therefore, this prajna is the most excellent thing. Its cause is to study such as this. This presence, what it becomes, its qualities, and the accomplishment of the good, these four points are the domain of Buddha's perfect knowledge as explained. Through faith in these, the fact of this presence, it being the power and with qualities endowed, the wise are quickly ripe for Tathagata achievement. Through faith, one believes this inconceivable domain present, achievable by someone like me, and, once attained, to have such qualities and to have possession. Therefore is bodhicitta ever present in them as the vessel for the qualities of earnest aspiration, joyful endeavor, mindfulness, meditative stability, prajna, and the others. As this is ever present, the sons of the victors do not deviate, and paramitas gathered by virtue are perfected to become immaculate. Virtue, the first five paramitas, is brought to perfection by an absence of any triplistic thought concerning them. They are completely purified by the removal of their opposites. Virtue born of giving is generosity, of correct action, right conduct. Forbearance and meditative stability are both born of meditation, and joyous perseverance is for all a companion. Triplistic thoughts are considered to be the cognitive obscuration, avaricious thoughts and the like as the defilement obscuration. Other than prajna, there is no means for removing these. Therefore, prajna is the best of all the paramitas. Its basis is such study. Thus, that study is supreme. Thus, on the basis of the trustworthy words of Lord Buddha and that of reason, have I given this teaching in order to purify myself alone and further to nurture intelligent beings, those having perfect faith and virtue. Just as, when aided by a lamp, lightning, a gem, the sun, or the moon, those with eyes can see, so likewise, by relying on the great sage, who, light of meanings, terms, dharma, and dharani radiates, have I now properly expounded this. Whatever has significance, is well connected with dharma, is a teaching which removes all the three worlds' defilement and shows peace's benefit. Such is the sage of truth's teaching. What is contrary to this is something other. Whatever those of perfectly undistracted mind have expounded solely in accordance with the teachings of the victorious one, and which is conducive to the path for attaining liberation, should also be placed on the head, like the Buddha's own speech. Since no one in this world has more Dharma skill than the Buddha, the omniscient one who properly knows all without exception as being the supreme suchness, which others know not, then whatever sutras were expounded by the great sage himself should not be adulterated. Such would harm the true Dharma through destruction of the way of the mighty victor. Those who, through defilement, are by their nature ignorant, revile the deeply realized and despise their teachings. All that occurs due to opinionatedness. Therefore, the mind should never, in the impure prison of fixed views, be confined. Clean cloth may be dyed with color, never cloth with oil stains. Through inferior understanding, absence of aspiration to virtue, indulging in wrong pride, a nature veiled by neglecting Dharma, mistaking the expedient meaning for the absolute, thatness, greed's thirst, ideology's grip, the influence of truth despisers, staying away from those holding the teachings and lower aspiration. Thus is the doctrine of those who defeat the enemy abandoned. More than fire, cruel, poisonous snakes, murderers, and lightning should the wise fear the loss of these profound teachings. Fire, snakes, enemies, and thunderbolts only bring life to an end. They do not take one to the so frightful state of worst torment. Even one who, through repeated association with sinful friends, has had harmful intentions toward the Buddha, or who commits the most heinous acts of killing father, mother, or an arhat, or who creates divisions in the noble Sangha, will be quickly rid of such things upon sincere reflection about this true nature. How could there be liberation for one whose mind hates Dharma? Whatever virtue I obtain through having properly explained these 7 points, the jewels, the perfectly pure essence, immaculate enlightenment, its qualities, and Buddha activity, through it may beings see the sage of boundless life, he endowed with limitless light. Having seen him, once their stainless Dharma eyes are opened, may they then achieve supreme enlightenment. On what basis, for which reasons, in which way, that which has been explained, and those factors favorable, these have been taught by means of stanzas 4. 2 have shown the means for purifying oneself, then the causes for the loss, and, through stanzas 2, an explanation of the fruit. In brief, the twofold fruit has been explained in what is said in the last, the surrounding mandala, forbearance and the attainment of enlightenment. This was the 5th chapter on the benefits from the analysis of the potential for the rare and supreme in the ultimate Mahayana treatise on the changeless continuity.